I'm about to do a new thing, says the Lord. Do you not perceive it? The prophet Isaiah was speaking, was writing, was reaching out to a group of people who felt downtrodden, who believed that they had been oppressed again and again and again, and they were right, who had suffered defeats, who were struggling to find hope, who longed for the good old days and didn't know what was going to happen next. In the midst of this setting in Israel, the prophet's words come forward. In the beginning of chapter 43 of Isaiah, we hear something that we hear often in Scripture regarding God. We hear a recounting of God's deeds. Excuse me. What God has done for God's people in the past. Remember when this was happening and I entered into the situation in this way, says God. Remember when that was happening, I entered into the situation in this way, says God. Remember when you were being oppressed and I was there for you. Remember that I loved you then and I love you now, says God. That's the run-up to the promise. The run-up to the promise, the build-up to the promise is, haven't I been there with you in the past? Haven't I been there for you in the past? And now that you're facing the situation you're facing now, I am here with you. I am here for you. If you haven't noticed, it's election time in the United States of America. In fact, we have primaries here in Missouri on Tuesday. You might have seen or heard an ad or two. You might have noticed that presidential candidates have been making their way through the St. Louis area. You might even be planning to vote. You might even be thinking to yourself, as I know many other Americans are thinking, it seems like this is a moment when some things could be better. It seems like this is a moment when we hope, as we move forward, that the situation will improve. The situation, as seen by different people, of course, is seen in different ways. But I think that we're at a moment in our national life, as we think about elections, and don't forget, there are also congressional elections coming up. There are also local elections coming up. There are also moments in our own lives when we must elect what we will do, how we will act, with whom we will walk and stand. But we're at this moment where we might be saying to ourselves, I wish God were about to do something new. In fact, I think we are at a moment like that because I hear people saying that. We need this new thing. We need that new thing. Now is the moment. This is the direction. So I thought this morning, I would help us to ask a couple of questions. The first question is, do we truly believe as a people here at Webster Groves Christian Church that God has been with us in the past? Is there a something old that we value here that would cause us to look forward to a something new? What would God say to us if God were going to say, remember, I was with you when? Remember the time that. Remember how I loved you. And as I've been thinking about the history of this congregation and reading about the history of this congregation and listening to the history of this congregation, I can say with assuredness that indeed we do have a past of receiving love and guidance and a call from God in so many ways. In reaching out and welcoming people from beyond the borders of our building and our state and even our nation. In extending a helping hand and a financial help to folks all around the world. In deciding what it meant for us to be people who do ministry together. across lines of gender and race and even sexuality, of being a place where people could gather in times of difficulty and celebration, of being a place where the gospel has been proclaimed and families could come together, in providing political space for discussions and questions to be asked. In all of those ways, we have experienced God's presence and we have longed to share it with others. Because that is the case, because there's a something old, we have a history with God, we should be those who are assured that there will be a something new. The God who loved us then is an eternal God who continues to love us now. The harder question, I think, is about that something new. As we think about our congregational life, and as we think about our national life, as we think about our global life, many people are hoping for something new. Many people are hoping that that something new will be something that God is doing, a way in which the freshness and power of God's Spirit is moving through our lives and our nation and our world. Many of you, no doubt, aren't only hoping for that, but you are actively praying for that. You are actively planning for that. Here's the thing. Not all new things are created equal. John asked two young men earlier about heroes. And I was surprised how long it took them to mention a Marvel or DC hero. It took a couple of rounds. I think it's because they were in church and one of them has a father who was leading the children's moment and the other has a father who's the pastor. And they were thinking, I'm pretty sure we're not supposed to say the Flash here. But Batman came out. And when you ask about heroes these days, Batman, Superman, The Flash, Wonder Woman, all of those important heroes, Spider-Man, etc. Something new. Some new way to battle evil. We can battle evil with technology. We can battle evil with speed. We can battle evil with strength. We can battle evil with time travel. We can battle evil with an invisible airplane and a magical lasso. Something new. Was thinking about that idea of heroes. And frankly, it's Brendan Tedford, who's sitting in the back right now, who got me thinking about how we think about heroes for this reason. Do any of you remember, some of you are old enough that you won't remember this, and some of you are the age where you remember this because your children know something about it. There used to be something called the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Right? They were on television here in the United States, and the deal about the Power Rangers were that they did things in a heroic fashion, right? They always had these incredible fights, and they could beat up the wrong people and the right people, and they could do the right things and make sure the wrong things weren't getting done. And recently, connected to that understanding of hero, Brendan shared with me a song, a theme song from this franchise in Japan. Right, and I thought about it, and I looked at it, and it was, and thank goodness, in English. I thought, oh, I imagine what this hero franchise in Japan would have as its theme song, because we've seen the import of all of that here in the United States. And I thought to myself, the theme song's going to be something like this. We're cooler than you, we're stronger than you, and we'll kick your butt in a fight. Don't worry, everyone, because we're big heroes, and we do everything right. Right? I thought it would be a song like that. And I read the lyrics, and this is what they sounded like. If we all hope and work together, a shining light of a bright future is possible for all of us. There you go. Those were the lyrics distilled for now. If we all hope and work together, a shining bright future is possible for all of us. Sometimes here in the United States of America, we forget that that is truly heroic language. Sometimes we focus on one person like a Batman who's going to go out and battle evil for us. And we forget that the something new that's so heroic might be when people come together and do a hopeful and wonderful thing. I think Isaiah 43 reminds us that when we look for a new thing from God, when we expect the God who's been with us in the past to be with us in the present, that we have to look for a very particular kind of God. I'm going to riff on the idea of hero a little more, because in Jesus' time, this understanding hero was a Greek and Roman understanding, right? We get our word hero from ancient Greek, and it connects to this idea of a demigod, usually somebody whose mom was human and whose dad was a god, from the pantheon of heroes that we knew from Mount Olympus, if we think about it in the Greek way. You remember all of those heroes. You know that we had, and I'm going to use Greek and Roman names, but we've got Zeus. And we've got Mercury, and we've got Mars. In fact, you could just name off a bunch of planets, and you've got a lot of those different gods, right? Neptune, for instance, Pluto, for instance. We've got those heroes, Venus. The thing about those gods back then is the kinds of things they did was choose which army won which battle, based on which army gave them the most offerings, and battle with one another so that they could be the most famous, and choose who was prettiest or most handsome on the earth so they could go down and make love to them. That's where we could get the demigods, the heroes. These were the kinds of gods. They had very interesting human-like characters, and they were usually thinking about themselves. And so understanding and interacting with these gods was a very precarious thing to do. You never knew exactly what was going to happen with them. You knew that they had primary character, but you also knew that they, in sometimes, could be unpredictable. That's why you did your best to suck up to a number of them, and you did your best to make the right offerings at the right time. Isaiah 43 offers us a completely different understanding of God. Isaiah 43 offers us a God whose character is predictable. Isaiah 43 says, past behavior is a predictor of future behavior. Here's what I mean by that. We are told again and again and again in the first and second testaments of our Bible that what we know about God from past relatedness with God is something we can count on as we look to the future. Here's what we know. God loves humanity. God says it right there in Isaiah 43 in the early verses, because I love you. God offers humanity a vision for wholeness and life. The first people were placed in a garden and they were given everything they needed. As people moved on, God provided for them in incredible ways. Number three, God delivers people from oppression. Moses leaves Egypt. He's shepherding. He's on a mountain. A bush is burning. God says to Moses, I have heard the cries of my people, and I'm going to do something about it. Again and again and again, we see that God acts on behalf of those who are downtrodden and oppressed. God loves humanity. God desires and provides for the benefit of humanity. God acts on behalf of the oppressed. God specifically works with and through and on behalf of those individuals who are suffering from oppression. Over and over and over again, our scriptural texts name widows, orphans, the poor, the hungry, strangers, sojourners, foreigners, over and over again. Something new? Would you like to see something new? Do you hope that God is doing something new? God is doing something new. Can we perceive it? As we see all of the something news that are on offer in our world today, all of the possibilities for a new direction of travel, whether it's possibilities presented by politicians, whether it's possibilities presented by pastors, or whether it's possibilities presented by anything else that starts with P, we should always use our discernment and ask the question, is this in line with the character of God we understand as people who follow Jesus Christ? Is the something new a something new that loves humanity, all of humanity? If so, it just might be something new that God is doing. Is the something new something that desires wholeness and well-being for all of humanity? If it is, if no one's left out, if there's a vision for wholeness, it might be a something new that God is doing. Is the something new a something new that battles oppression, that breaks down systems that harm and oppress people? If it is, it might be a something new that God is doing. Is it a something new that liberates and empowers individual people who have found themselves at the very bottom of society, at the very margins of cultures and systems? If it is, it just might be a something new that God is doing. And here's the thing. Situations just keep changing. Can you imagine if God responded exactly the same way to every situation, as if every situation were the same, the same, the same, the same, the same? We might start to believe that God was no longer actively involved in the world. We might become what were called in the 18th and early 19th century deists, right? Folks who understood this great clockmaker or great watchmaker idea of God, which is to say, God was the beginning of everything. God kicked it off. God got it started. God put the gears where they needed to be. And now things are just happening. We can't expect God's presence to be actively known and seen in the world now, except through the workings of nature. But the Bible tries to tell us something different from that. Jesus, it seemed, thought he was participating in something different from that. The history of this congregation suggests to me that we have in the past believed something different from that. And I believe that today we affirm something different from that. We affirm that God is active in and with the world, and God responds anew to new situations. When the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt, God rescued them from that place. And God, through God's people and prophets, made condemnations of the society of Egypt that was oppressive, systematically oppressive. When the people were longing for home and wishing to return from exile in Babylon, God acted in new and different ways in that moment. When people were suffering under the oppression of the Roman system, God acted through God's people in new and refreshing ways, but always to enact and show forth God's love for humanity, God's fervent desire that humanity prosper in holistic ways, that systems that oppress be destroyed and dismantled, and that people who are oppressed are liberated and empowered. Today, Webster Groves Christian Church, citizens of Missouri and Illinois and the United States of America, global citizens, God is doing new things. Can we perceive it? Can we perceive those things that God is doing? Let's be on the lookout for places and people where God is showing forth love, where God is working for the wholeness of humanity and creation, where God is breaking down ancient structures of oppression, where God is building up and freeing individual oppressed people. Can you see it? Can you perceive it? God is about to do a new thing. And as people who are followers of Jesus Christ, as people who acknowledge the presence of God's Spirit in the world, we are called to be a part of that new thing that God is doing. As we move forward from this place, let us remember all of the old things that God has done, all of the ways that we have been affirmed, all of the ways that we have been challenged, all of the ways that God's Spirit has been present with us, so that as we participate with God in the new thing that God is doing, we can do so with faith and assurance. We can do so with hope and strength. And that with God, as this new thing unfolds, the world will know love. The world will know wholeness. The world will know freedom. And the least empowered, the most oppressed, will feel the power of that love, will feel the glory of that wholeness, will feel the hope of that freedom. God is doing something new. And for that, thanks be to God.